play by Jesse Bates. Knocked up in the air. Intercepted. Mike Hilton's got it. And Tannehill goes back to tackle him. What a spectacular play by Mike Hilton. Tannehill steps forward. Popped up in the air. Intercepted. Logan Wilson's got it for Cincinnati. Harris the snapper. Huber will hold it. 52-yarder. Sweeps the leg. McPherson. He's got it. Cincinnati wins. They are going to the AFC Championship game for the first time since 1988. The Bengals' mantra has been, why not us? And they're right. 1916, the final in Nashville.
Unfortunately, it is. And just like we started the show on Friday, it is over. And I said, you know, we've spent all week talking about how the Titans are going to win. What if they lose? It was an odd start to the show, but I kind of felt like, man, we're not discussing that part at all. And I get it. We're in this market. The Titans were the one seed. They're at home. And why not? But I was like, you know, it is the NFL playoffs, and crazy things happen. And now, unfortunately, it's come to reality. And today, the number one seed, both number one seeds, are indeed out. Welcome into Darren Donick, Chase, and D-Mace. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason. Here for the ride for the next 4 hours, Elijah Campbell, the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Guys, it was not the weekend we expected, but I'll tell you what. After, even with the results here, Wild Card Weekend was a dud. The divisional rounds was epic. Saturday and Sunday were epic, especially yesterday. Yesterday was crazy good. But that's about the only good that really happened. Nothing good here. How we doing?
Hey. We're doing wonderful.
Are we alive? Are we dead? What's going on?
Yes, well, we are alive and ready to go. I'm pretty sure the listeners want to hear what Coach Willie has to say. I mean, it was, like you said, Darren, the divisional round obviously was much better than the wild card round. And we expected that. I mean, that Kansas City game last night
was off the charts.
Goodness gracious. I hated to see either team lose or either quarterback lose because they played so well. And even the Rams game, as much as they tried to give it to Tampa Bay, and it had nothing to do with Tom Brady. It didn't, because he played like Ryan did yesterday, and they still almost won. But you look at the Titans game, I mean, it was a huge disappointment. It truly was. I mean, everything was trending their way. They had a sellout house, a lot of noise in that building, a lot of energy in the city. And you just thought that, one, the Titans would feed off that energy, having a week's rest, and two, that they would come out and really take control of the game early on, because essentially they had everybody back. Everybody on that team was healthy and ready to go, unlike Cincinnati. And the Titans squandered a great opportunity to host the AFC Championship game.
Isn't that so sad? They've been the one seed three times, and the feeling the Monday after those three games, it's identical, where you felt like you had the better team, you felt like everything was lined up for you to make a run, and it just didn't go your way. And this one, maybe a little bit more. I don't know if it was even more frustrating, equally as frustrating. There weren't the freakish bounces like the one, Derek, that you were involved in 2000, where there were some bad breaks to go with some of the other things that happened. But so much had to go wrong for them to lose on a last-second field goal. You know, so many things went wrong, and yet they still are right there in a position to win the game. I mean, it's just the level of disappointment is a 10 when you work so hard to get to that point and you don't play your best game.
I feel like this one still ranks 2, as in worst loss in franchise history. I still am going to give 2000. The worst feeling.
Why would you? Why would you give 2000 the worst? I would say 2008. They had the number one seed, the best record in the National Football League.
But nobody thought that team was going to go all the way.
But the, I mean, the 2000, way
2000, you guys were loaded. You guys were, and here's okay.
But
here's
the
why.
Division was loaded too.
Okay, let me. I agree. But here's okay. Here's just hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
I compare it to what the Predators did, okay? Mm-hmm. In 99, you guys got to the Super Bowl, and nobody was predicting you guys to get to I know you went 13-3 in the regular season, but nobody was predicting you to get to the Super Bowl, right? You had mm-hmm. to do the whole thing on the road after the Music City of Miracle, and you did it, okay? Then the next year, it was like you were loaded for bear. You were the best team in the regular season, and everybody expected you to get back. And you've got home field throughout. Everybody expects you to get back to the big game and right the wrong. The Predators did the same thing, right? Nobody was predicting them to beat. And I get it. You guys weren't the 8th seed, mm-hmm. okay, in 99. The Predators were literally the last team in the playoffs. And they made this incredible run to the Stanley Cup final. And it was like, all right, run it back. They're bringing the general manager said, we're bringing everybody back. And they re-ran it back, and they were the best team in the league, okay, the best team in the regular season in the entire National Hockey League, the one seed throughout. And everybody expected them to get back to that place and right the wrong. And we know they lost in Game 7. It wasn't in the conference championship, but they lost in Game 7 in the second round. I just kind of felt like both of them were set up. And that's why it hurt so much, right? It hurt for when the Predators fell in the second round, Game 7, to the Jets. And why in 2000 you guys lost to the Ravens, because I think everybody felt like you were going to get back. And you should. You guys were a dominant team. I don't need to tell you that. Mm-hmm. You guys were really good that year.
But here,
did you finish the last two games of the regular season pitching shutouts?
Yeah, I think the last game was against Dallas.
That was the Christmas night game.
Exactly. But here's the difference, I think. In regards to the disappointment, the second round of the playoffs, we were playing a 12-4 Baltimore Ravens, who was a second-ranked defense in the National Football League. The Tennessee Titans were playing the, Cincinnati Bengals, who had the one of the worst defenses and the worst offensive line that I've ever seen a playoff team have. That is disappointing when you know you are – listen, you know you are clearly, hands down, better than this team. Now, we were better than Baltimore from an offensive standpoint, but our defense and Baltimore defense was neck and neck.
Yeah.
Yes.
This team, there was – you could – the only and we talked about this too last week. The only advantage, really, Cincinnati had, if you're talking man-to-man, was the quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's it. Because as good as Ja'Marr Chase is, and the guy is phenomenal. Believe me, he is phenomenal. A.J. Brown proved that he's damn good too. So those two are like, okay, that's a wash. But everywhere else on the field, the Titans had a plus.
I'll say receivers 2 and 3, definitely big check mark Cincinnati.
But AJ and what's the big guy, the second receiver?
Higgins.
They pretty much washed themselves out too. You see what I'm saying? Boyd wasn't in the game.
Well, I'm talking about I know, but Higgins and Boyd are better than 2 and 3 for Titans, right? Which is,
But, Derek, your point overall is the key. We can argue about these little things, but the Bengals were not as good
as
the
Ravens. That's what I'm saying.
The Bengals are not as good as one of those Ravens.
It was such a disappointment because coming into the game, and we talked about this, it really shouldn't have been close, but it was. But even with that, that we felt the Titans would still win because they had the better team, like the better team, the better coaching staff, the better fans, the better water boy. Everything was better, and they didn't get it done. That's why it's to me, it's such a huge disappointment.
I can't really push back on that.
It's a 10 out of 10.
That's a fair counter because you're right. The Ravens team in 2000 was a much more formidable opponent than Cincinnati. Nothing against the Bengals, but you're right. They didn't stack up to that Ravens team that, by the way, went on to win it all. They did win the Super Bowl. So that's a fair pushback. I just remember what this city was like, and everybody expected you guys to get back to exactly where you were the year before. And, you know, so, but you know what? Mm-hmm. I can also say this market was back to that place. I really feel like this market had come back to that place. They were all in on this team, and they felt the same thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's a razor's edge because I think everybody felt good here, even though the next opponent was going to be brutal in the championship game. But you've already beat both of them, so it doesn't mean you know, who says you can't beat them again? But, yeah, it is definitely a little bit, I would lean a little bit more what you said, a little bit more shocking because of the opponent. And I think that's fair. That is fair. So we'll come back and we'll continue the discussion. There's a whole lot more to get into, and that's exactly what we're going to do on the other side. But first, a word about QC Kinetics.
All right, let me tell you about QC Kinetics, and they are available in our listening area, and they want you to get moving in 2022. It's a fantastic product that you may not have heard of, and this is an area that for those of you that might be getting up there and you've been active, but you've been hindered by some joint pain, and that happens to a lot of people. It happens to a lot of people during these times. And so they want you to know that QC Kinetics is out there. They do a tremendous job using the natural biologic agents from your own body. So this is out there. It's not just surgery. It's not just steroids that are out there. And if you kind of get turned away from the idea of having to take pain meds and drugs and things like that, look into QC Kinetics because it is an absolutely free second opinion. And it's an option you may not have considered. And it's going to use these powerful, highly concentrated natural biologics put directly into your affected joint. And it's going to help you feel a lot better. You'll be moving a lot better. And you'll be free in 2022 to do all the things that you like to do. So get the free consultation at QC Kinetics. This might be for you. So you can avoid the surgery. You can avoid the steroids. You can avoid all the pain meds. And you can do the things that you love to do actively. So call the local medical professionals at QC Kinetics now. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Mike Vrabel will speak today at 11 o'clock. We'll carry that press conference live. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. I'm not sure what Mike Vrabel meant by that. But anyway, if you'd have told me before the game, since gambling is legal in this state, that, look, here's how this is going to play out. Derrick Henry's going to have 20 carries. A.J. Brown's going to have 140-plus yards receiving. The Titans' defense is going to have 9 sacks. And oh, by the way, just for giggles, Joe Burrow isn't going to throw a touchdown. You can go bet on the game if you like. You know where I would be right now? Either under a bridge or calling Derek, because I know you've got room in your big house, to say, hey, do you have room for a family of three? Because we need a place to stay for a while. And I won't be on Zoom this week because I don't have any clothes. So I'm not going to – Chase, just letting you know, I won't be on Zoom because I don't have any clothes. Also, I need a ride because I put also the car note on it. I know you have a lot of vehicles. Can we borrow one of your vehicles? Or if you say no, I'm going to have to probably sneak the family into the den and just don't anybody tell Bud and Dennis, okay? Because we'll be living in the den downstairs at the radio station. If I would have known that before the game, there's literally nothing you could have told me at that point to tell me that but don't be surprised if Cincinnati wins. I would be on the floor, laughing for hours on end. There's no way I ever would have believed the Titans lose the game. If I would have known that before the game, I would have bet everything I had and lost it all.
Well, I'm glad you didn't bet everything you had.
Yes, me
Darren.
Too.
You've been listening to Steve Mariucci. Good job.
Exactly, because I think
stick to the game plan.
I think Lauren and Maddox would have been they'd have been pretty mad at you.
Oh yeah, yeah. And there's another thing. It would probably have been just me because my family. Exactly. It wouldn't have been a family of three anymore. Probably just
the
me.
Dog would have even left you.
Oh yeah, the dogs would for sure have gone with Lauren and Maddox. There's no way they're going with me. So yeah, it would be just me. So that would have made things easier for a nice landing spot for a little bit.
Yeah.
Till I get back on my feet.
Yeah, you're right.
It just illustrates all of the things that you mentioned are really because I thought the Titans had an outstanding game plan. And as Derek mentioned in the first segment, they had all of the pieces back. They looked like a team that was a number one seed talent-wise. You know, because all of the pieces that we envisioned before the season were in place. Julio Jones looked like much, much more of a factor. Bud Dupree, much, much more of a factor when those guys were no factor for a lot of times. They had Derrick Henry back, although I would say, and I'd be curious to what you guys think, I still think he was clearly missing a gear. He was okay, but he didn't have that second level speed. He didn't have quite the power for the short yardage plays. So there was something missing there. That was disappointing. But, you know, it's not totally unexpected. But other than that, all the pieces were in place for them to go play, and they just didn't execute. You know, and it all starts with a quarterback, as we know. So I'm sure we can sit here for 4 hours mm-hmm. and talk about Tannehill's play. That was quite obvious. But there were some other things, too, that they had opportunities. Like Janoris Jenkins has a dead interception.
Pick six. No, it's a
drops.
Pick six.
Absolutely.
It's not an interception. It's a pick six.
Probably would have scored. No question.
No,
probably
no
would
it's
score.
A pick six. Yep.
But that's why they are defensive backs, because they can't catch the ball well.
But their guys made the plays on the two tip balls.
You know, and, like a receiver
on the first. Yeah, and their guy catches the ball on the first pass of the game. You know, where he reads it well, just like Jenkins did. He catches it. Jenkins doesn't catch it. Kari Blassingame, mm-hmm. not known for, you know, he's not a great receiver, but he's a guy that if you watched him at Vanderbilt, he caught plenty of passes. He's good enough to make the play. Second and 11 from the 39. Wide, wide open. He gets his hands crossed up. He drops the ball. That's probably a first down. That's points. They didn't score.
I probably have a little bit of an issue with that. He had two catches all season, so I don't know if that's the spot to be using Blassingame.
But he's wide open.
Around.
He's wide open. He's wide open. Catch the ball. He's a guy.
I understand. But he caught two passes this year.
So what? He's wide open. I have a much less of a problem with that than the last play where they choose to throw to NWI, who they hadn't targeted the whole game.
But
and there's bracket coverage all around him, and he still throws it in there.
But don't forget the second pick was to Chester Rogers.
And that was one where
picks two and three are to Rogers and NWI.
Yeah, but that play, the one to Rogers, that looked to me like the Bengals knew the play.
If you watch
the replay, they – Well, I agree with you on that, too. But the one down on the goal line, first and goal from the 10, you see the defensive back comes off of Rodgers. He blitzes.
Yep.
He makes the interception. And the guy that replaces him is running right at Rodgers. So even if the pass gets to Rodgers, he's going to get lit up.
No gain. No gain.
As soon as he catches the ball. So they knew the play. So I don't – so that's – It was just
so hold on. Okay. So hold on with that, Willie, because I agree with you 100%. Derek, do you?
I just don't.
Okay,
because
why?
Here's the reason. The pass to Westbrook Ikhina, I don't have a problem with him targeting Westbrook Akina. I really don't. I have a problem with there's three guys around him. Now, yep. If it was just one-on-one coverage or, you know, it was cover two or something like that, then, yes, I have no problem because I have confidence that Westbrook Akina is going to catch the ball. So I don't have a problem with who he targeted or who he was looking
at. You're saying he should have never thrown it.
Exactly. He should have never thrown it. Not because it could have been A.J. Brown that was right there. He shouldn't have thrown it. Now, the pass to Chester Rogers, I don't fault the offensive coordinator with that either. They've done that plenty of times in the season, and it's either gotten them a big play or it might have gotten them a small play or it might have gotten knocked down. It was just an incomplete. But I don't blame Downing for calling that play because if the defensive back doesn't knock it down, if Tannehill gets a little bit more air on it, the pass is caught, and maybe he gets a yard or two, or maybe he just gets stopped, and they live to play another down. So right. I don't blame those play calls on the offensive coordinator, and I've heard this a lot. Oh, Downing shouldn't have called that play. He shouldn't have called. No, he should have. The quarterback should have either thrown it a little bit higher or not at all. So it's not so much on the offensive coordinator because, again, if that play works, everybody's like, great call. Yada, yada, yada. Let's move on. But because it didn't work, now the blame is on offensive coordinator.
Okay, can I counter, though?
Go ahead.
How did they get to that point? Tell me what they were doing.
They were running the football.
Running the football, cramming it down Cincinnati's throat.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you throw there? All you've done is run and run down their throat.
Because eventually it's that one play, and the Titans had several of those plays when they tried to run it, and Cincinnati stopped them. Maybe that one play, because it is, you know, third and whatever. Cincinnati's looking for that run play, and they're gearing to stop it.
Well, okay, clearly, they weren't looking for the run
play.
So
obviously, no, they had people stacked up on the line. They were playing close. The corner was playing close, too. And the corner made a good play. What people got to understand is those people get paid, too, on the other side of the ball. They game plan just like the Titans game plan, just like the Titans defense game planned against Joe Burrow and that Cincinnati offense and did a heck of a job up front. Cincinnati's game planning for the Tennessee Titans and the things that they do. So, again, I don't disagree with the play calling. I disagree with the quarterback not doing the necessary things to make that play work on both of those plays. And even the one play I may disagree with the offensive coordinator on is the two-point play. Was it the two-point play when he got stopped, or was it fourth and one? I believe it was fourth and one. Yeah. The two-point play, too. I disagree with that. Yeah, I disagree with that because my thing was Derrick Henry is still not running the way Derrick Henry's used to running. If you want to run that play, put Foreman in. Because
On fourth down or the two-point conversion?
On two-point conversion. And a fourth down.
Well, I was going to say, why would you? I mean, the fourth down was late in the fourth quarter. You knew exactly what Derrick Henry was at that point. I mean, at least the two-point conversion was in the second quarter.
But my thing is,
he had just scored. He had just scored a touchdown.
Yeah, and he just scored. Yeah, he
had just scored a touchdown on a play with an offensive line. Nobody touched him.
Yeah, you're right.
Willie and Darren, you could have ran. Not taking anything away from Derrick Henry because he's a beast, but he wasn't. It was clear. Throughout that whole game, even on his first carry, you saw that he was not the same Derrick. He didn't have that pop. He didn't have that stiff arm. He didn't have that burst. He was falling.
Let's put it to the test. Does Chase score on that play?
Oh, definitely.
Oh,
he may he may trip and fall in.
But he still scores?
But I think he still scores, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
that's how big that hole was. He didn't
clearly
get touched.
That's painting a picture right there.
Maddox could have scored on that play.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. So you're going to give Derrick Henry no credit for that.
No. Again, not taking anything away from Derrick Henry, but if everybody – I'm just calling in how I see it, and it's not taking anything away from Derrick Henry because Derrick Henry would tell you, man, that hole was so wide open because the offensive line did such a great job.
Yeah. At Kimmy Two Shoes on Twitter, she tweets and says that she agrees with me. 2000 was the worst loss. She said it's the only time she's cried after a loss. She said this year she was heartbroken but it wasn't as crushing as 2000.
Maybe she wasn't quite invested in this team that she was in the last team.
Maybe. I don't know. Because I'm just reading the tweet.
No, you're right. My thing is that team, that we was just coming in, it was brand new to everybody, so everyone was truly invested. Like, this was, they felt this was their team. Nobody, there was no no sideline fans. There was no fans, you know, there was none of that. Everybody was invested, and I think that's why it hurt so much. But if you look at this game, as we talked about, it hurt to me because there was no weaknesses. Cincinnati had no advantage other than the quarterback. And the defensive line did a hell of a job at neutralizing that.
Let's come back and do a deeper dive with that fourth down play and the two-point conversion. I think we need to spend a little bit more time on that. We'll do that on the other side as you listen to the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I know that promo said TD at 11 today. It'll be Mike Vrabel at 11, TD at 1 o'clock. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. I want to start with the two-point conversion. You made a strong case at the beginning of the show on why this one's a tougher loss than the 2000 loss to the Ravens. I want to see if you can make the same or same compelling argument or other side to why you go for the two-point conversion. Why you wouldn't just be satisfied with the 7-6 lead in the second quarter. Why, I get it, you move the ball to the one. I will never understand. This is not a reaction knowing the results. I did not understand in the moment why on earth you would go for two there. I don't understand that.
I was good with it. I was perplexed. They had the momentum. They had run the ball in from, you know, the last couple of plays. They had the wildcat that Derek said. They just caved in the line. It looked really good. They moved the ball to the one-yard line. Going into this game, I considered the Titans a grade A short yardage team. Mm-hmm. If you look through this season, even going back to last season, they're a very good short yardage team. They're also a very good short yardage defensive team, for that matter, which doesn't matter in this play. But you put the ball on the one, I think you're going to get it 9 out of 10.
This team is good at short yardage?
Absolutely. You got Derrick Henry. You got the read option.
They've struggled in short yardage.
Well, show me the stats, and I don't believe that's true. I think they've been excellent.
I believe it's absolutely true. They've really had their struggles on short yards. I don't know why.
Give me the stats.
Willie, I'm not going through the season with you on third and one and fourth and one plays.
All right. So okay, your word against mine.
I'm just telling you they have struggled in short yardage.
Now let's talk about the play. Mm-hmm. They run it right to Derrick Henry. They have the blocking set up on the strong side. The hole's there. Derrick Henry is going to win that battle. He came up about 6 inches short as it was, maybe even 4 inches. I mean, he barely got tackled. So why did he not make it? A guy from the weak side comes in unblocked, dives at his ankles, and slows him down just enough. Now, I don't know. I saw a Kari Blassen game. He ran by that guy. He ran into the line and blocked in with the offensive lineman. So I don't know if he was supposed to block the unblocked guy, and they just figured there's no way that guy's going to run down Derrick Henry from the weak side. But he did. He made a great play. I don't know if that's A, guy didn't block who he was supposed to block, B, Derrick Henry not getting to the hole as quick as he normally does, or C, both. But I think he's going to score 99 times out of 100 on that play from the one-yard line. He should have scored on that play. Well, absolutely should have scored.
That one time, he didn't score.
I know. So. I know. That was the day. That's why we're sitting here today talking about this.
But here's the deal. Typically, when it's ran that way, there's always going to be at least one unblocked guy. They expect that one unblocked guy to be, you know, for the running back to beat that guy.
Yeah, just to overpower.
Especially a guy of Derrick Henry's stature. They expect, okay, you know, we got six men to block seven. You know, hopefully we can possibly get that seventh man or put him in a position where he's, you know, a little bit outside of what he's supposed to do, a little bit out of position, and then allow Derrick Henry to do the rest. But it didn't happen that way. My thing was, why are you chasing points?
I understand the analytics.
Well, I get that.
What does an 8-6 lead do? What does that do?
Well, if he scores, it puts you up 1 point toward the end of the game. You know,
and if you don't get it, it's tied.
Exactly. But I'm with you. I don't understand why you chase points when you don't need to. Again, I understand the analytics, but sometimes you got to kind of put the analytics to the side and say, okay, what is best for our team at this particular moment? Because even though they scored, that still was a battle between both teams. And why not go up 7-6?
Right. What is the extra point? Does that deflate the crowd? I don't think it takes the crowd out of it. Like, okay, the momentum's going your way. Great. Mm-hmm. Let that carry over with the next series on defense. I mean, I don't know why you're looking to chase points in the second quarter. It makes no sense. By the way, the team had need to get 1 yard 3 times on Saturday and failed all 3 times. So
yeah,
they're not a great short yardage team.
Well, they were not.
They would fail two more times.
They were not a great short yardage team Saturday night. Before then I would bet just about everything that
easy. I already told you, be careful. I said
before yesterday, if this is in a regular season, I would have bet just about anything that the Titans get a 4th-and-1. But this is not the regular season.
Yeah, I know it's at the one, but I don't know what you're chasing at that point. It's the second quarter.
You're chasing 1 yard. You're chasing your chance of getting 1 yard.
No, why would you be tied? Why would you take the risk of being tied at that point? Take the lead and get on with it.
I get the argument, but I'm just telling you that when you get to the one, you feel like you can get 1 yard, and that's an easy extra point that could come in handy down the road. There was probably I'd like to see what the analytics were actually, because you know Randy Bullock missed 3 extra points during the season. People do miss extra points. Harrison Butker missed an extra point yesterday. So I just think Mike Vrabel's probably thinking in his head, it's like the pick six, Darren. If your chances are close, but you can get an extra point by just getting 1 yard, then the risk was worthy in his mind, and it backfired. And he should have made it. He missed it by an inch. He's going to make that 99 times out of 100.
I watched the Bengals.
It was very frustrating.
6 times tried to get the ball in the end zone against the Chiefs from the one.
That's the Bengals.
And couldn't do it.
That's the Bengals.
You've seen
the Bengals offensive line, haven't you? You've seen the Titans. You're comparing the Bengals running attack to the Titans running attack?
I'm saying Derek knows the yard is not a given in the NFL.
When you're on that 1 yard line, people just assume, oh, they're going to get it in, and because they have this back in the backfield. This offensive line is playing well. But when you get down on that 1 yard line, man, it's a different battle. Because those guys are
totally
hunkered
in. Different battle.
They will sell out so much on a run that they may give up a pass. That's what defensive lines, that's what defensive coordinators do. They feel you're not running the ball in on it. If you get it on a pass, fine, so be it. But you're not running the football on us to get 6 points, or in this case, 2 points. And that's the way the Cincinnati Bengals felt. You got to give credit to what Cincinnati Bengals did when it was 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1 and they had to get a stop. They bowled up all those 200-300 pounders and they got a stop. So as much as we say Derek should have gotten it or the offensive line should have blocked better, the defense just played it well.
They did. But let's also say this as we go to the phones, that's not out of character for Mike Vrabel. If that was out of character, then I would have been on your
side. That's
Mike
the problem
Vrabel
I have
does
with
that
it,
a
Willie.
Lot.
Willie, that's
in
the problem
this
I have
day and
with
age,
it.
In the NFL, people go for it when they have the situation like that on 4th down and 2-point conversions. I had no problem with it.
I thought it was a head coach getting caught up in player moment again. Again. That's to me, it's be a head coach. Don't get caught up in the moment. You said momentum. You're the head coach. Go out there and do the smart thing. Kick the extra point.
Yeah.
Take the 7-6 lead and get on with it. Let's go to Johnson. You're up first here on Darren Donick and Chase and D-Mace. Welcome in.
Go.
Is this Johnson?
Yeah, this is him.
Yeah,
I don't hear it real good. I just got one real quick thing. You know, life's a gamble, and you guys gamble, I gamble. When you got a hunch, you bet a bunch on that 2 points. That might have changed the whole game if they'd made it. So, you got a hunch, bet a bunch. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Have a good day.
All right. I don't know what it changes. Once again, I mean, a field goal gets you beat. I don't know what it changes. At the course of the game in the second quarter, the only thing to me it changes, now you've got an even game when you should be in the lead. That's what it changed to me. Let's go to Tommy in Shelbyville on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Hey, love the shows, love the shows. I blame Derek for going to Baltimore.
Well, you need to be blaming the Titans on that one.
Still got the autographed jersey hanging in my man cave.
Oh man, that's wonderful.
I don't blame nobody. I blame the whole team for not being able to play together all year as the problem. I'm not going to throw Tannehill under the bus because I've been a Titans fan since the 90s, and I've thoroughly enjoyed the past six seasons we've had, and I was tired of losing for so many years. I'm just glad we have competitive football year in and year out now, and we will get better, and we'll get all the little pieces together. That's if we don't fire everybody this year.
Okay.
Well,
thank you, Tommy.
I don't know
if he's talking about coaches. I mean, has Mike Vrabel fired a coach since he's been the head coach?
Nah. I think they've left.
I was going to say, has he fired anybody? I don't think
he has.
So, I mean, like, will there be player turnover? Yes. I mean, that's inevitable every year, especially with what they're facing. But I'm not so sure he's even fired a coach in 4 years, I don't think.
He hasn't, and I don't see him doing it, you know, this offseason. I don't see him getting rid of the offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator, and he shouldn't. Frankly, he shouldn't. I think if you look at the game, I think both coordinators did a good job. Now, defense coordinator did a better job, but I think Downing did a good job. You can't blame him for 3 interceptions. You just can't. You know, if that's the case, they should have got rid of him after Tannehill threw 4 interceptions.
Yeah, I'm not going to side with you on that. I'm going to have to probably push back. We have to do that on the other side. Mm-hmm. Also, Ed wants to weigh in. We'll do that.
Mike Vrabel will
speak
at 11 o'clock.
We will carry that live. So just over 10 minutes from now, but back to your phone calls. 615-737-1025. That is our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ed is up next. Welcome in.
Hey, guys, real quickly. After the game, Vrabel said it's never about one player. I took a poll. Democrats and Republicans, 99% of Democrats and Republicans agree that you need a quarterback to win in the NFL. It's the only issue I know of where everybody agrees on. I really don't think Vrabel believes that. I really don't think you have to have a decent to good quarterback to win in this league. I mean, and he played with Tom Brady. And Vrabel probably believes that they would have won all those Super Bowls in New England if Brady wasn't there.
Well, what do you want him? But in fairness, though, Ed, what do you want him to say? Do you want him to trash Tannehill?
No, I don't want him to trash Tannehill. But I would love to hear him acknowledge that you have poor quarterback play, guys. Listen, man. Look, let me just say this real quickly. In any job, you know, the playoff game is the highest level in NFL. If you're going to do surgery on a president, you're not going to send. I mean, you're going to send the best person out there that you possibly can. If you're a plumber, if you're doing a shower, you know that could possibly leak on the 10th floor of the Ritz-Carlton downtown Nashville, it's going to ruin the hotel. You're going to send the best master plumber you have. You don't throw the ball to your number 4 receiver. I don't care. You got to. I mean, if Julio drops the ball. If AJ Brown drops the ball, if the ball is intercepted, trying to get the ball to those guys, you know what? I'm not going to give him as hard a time as I will if you're trying to force a ball into the number 4 receiver who hadn't been targeted all day long. Not one target all day, guys. Okay. I'm out.
Thank you, Ed. Look, I will say this about Ed's comment.
Uh-huh.
I don't think there is any defending Tannehill on the final. I mean, the interception at the end, like the only thing, I get it, you're trying to get in field goal position, but the one thing you cannot do in that spot, because, look, your safety valve is just go to overtime. You're at home, go to overtime and try to win it. The one thing you can't do is throw a pick, right? That is the one thing you can't do, and he did.
Killer.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I have, and everyone's going to say, well, he should have never thrown it to Westbrook Ikhina. Well, don't you think A.J. Brown was triple covered or double covered?
Well, don't, how could he? Looked like there were a lot of guys around.
It was
Nick.
Just their attention. Here's the deal. He had already made up his mind who he was throwing to.
Of course, yes.
Not to say that A.J. Brown was wide open, because if they were leaving A.J. Brown one-on-one on that last play, then, you know, they're stupid as the defensive coordinator. If I'm a defensive coordinator, I am doubling A.J. Brown, okay? I don't care who else is on the field. I'm doubling A.J. Brown. And take your chances over here. The problem was he had already made up his mind where he was throwing it, and he stared it down. I don't have a problem with it being Westbrook Ikhina, because no one else had a problem during the season when Westbrook Ikhina was making crucial catches and people were loving him. That's what I dislike, when people are loving Westbrook Ikhina and he's doing a great job, and then all of a sudden it's not his fault. He's running a route. They should have never threw it there. Maybe they I have no problem with who they threw it to. I have a problem that he stared it down and he had already predetermined where he was going. That could have been A.J. Brown with three people, and if he would have thrown it, people would have still had a problem. Oh, he should have thrown it. He shouldn't have thrown it to A.J. Brown. He should have thrown it to somebody else. To me, again, it's not the guy he's throwing it to. It's how he stared it down, and he basically telegraphed it, and the defense jumped on it.
Yep.
Right. I think that's a great point. And I am a defender of NWI.
Yes, you are.
I really like him, for sure.
Yes,
but he's not the guy that you want with the game on the line. It's very similar to Khalif Raymond, an overachiever last year. The same thing happened. He got overpowered, and, you know, it's bang, bang, and maybe you got a better chance if that's one of your better receivers. But in that situation, as you said, Darren, worst-case scenario is overtime.
Just got overtime.
Yep. You've got no problem if that's an incomplete pass, if you throw it away, or if you take a look at the film, and again, this is an easy thing in hindsight, us sitting in our living room, but it's a deep drop, right? There's a line of defenders in a zone, including the guy that ends up catching the interception, the linebacker. They drop deep to the sticks, and you've got Ferkser wide open underneath. He's going to catch it. He's got a chance to run it for a first down. And if he comes up a yard short, it's either fourth and one, you go for it, or you let the clock run out, you go to overtime. So it's just, try to stick it in there. Again, it's easy for us to say this. And the caller, you know, all the callers that say you got to get a better quarterback, well, there's about five quarterbacks
easier
who
said
are
than done.
Exactly.
The amazing fit. Yeah, so Ryan Tannehill is your quarterback, okay?
At least
he
for the next
a bad
year
game on set.
And maybe two.
He is your guy. He is your guy. You can't do anything about it. So he's got to just be better. And he's a pretty good quarterback.
Let's go to Claude. You're up next. Welcome in.
Good morning, Jim. How are you doing?
Good.
I want to piggyback the same thing with Derek started talking about. First of all, key coaching mistakes. I know this being in a major game. You can't leave points out there on the field. You should have kicked the extra point regardless. We got Schwartz in and brought him as an advisor to our defense. Why does he get an advisor? There's so many coaching turnovers to bring in to offense coordinator to advise him, somebody who has wisdom and knowledge can carry over and help him out if he can't change him out.
Okay. Thank you, Claude. Well, he can do whatever he wants. If Mike Vrabel wants to make a change, he'll make a change. But Mike Vrabel doesn't operate like that. I said this morning, if you're in the camp of they need to upgrade at OC, calling in and calling for Todd Downing's head is not the way to do it, because Mike Vrabel will get a backhoe and he'll dig in deeper. I mean, he's not going to have anybody tell him what to do on his staff. We've certainly figured that out in the last 4 years. I'm going to ask you this. If they kicked the extra point, and when they went for it on fourth and one, at the 35, and they're up 14-13. Do they go for it on fourth and one, or do they kick a field goal to try to go up by four?
I don't think you can play that game because
why not?
You don't know how the game is going to unfold. It's not a given that the score would have been 14 or 17,
but what if
16
it was?
Instead of
– Okay, but what if it was?
What if it was 23-16? What if it was 30-16? We don't know how the game was going to unfold. It's not a guarantee that
right,
people
you,
play it. The
I didn't
same
say guarantee.
Way.
But what if it was? Which it certainly could have been.
Then the situation changes completely.
Yeah, and does it that
the Bengals play differently if they're behind by one as opposed to tie? You know what I'm saying? Like you can't play that game. We don't know how the game would have unfolded.
Why would they play differently? A field goal wins it either way. Why would they play differently?
Darren, you can't know how the game is. You can't know how the game is going to unfold. It's not a given that the score would have stayed exactly the same.
But it's not a given, but it could have been, though. It could have very well been 14-13 in that spot. Very well could have been. And that changes the complexion of the game, which, again, I get it. This does not make an argument for your narrative.
What if they made the two-point conversion, then the game would have unfolded differently that way?
No.
You can't play that
game.
No,
it doesn't. It doesn't change the decision. It's 15-13. You still kick the field goal, and you go up five. I mean, the point is, that did change. It could have changed things. It could have changed that whole decision. And if Randy Bullock kicks the field goal, we may be talking about a four-point lead, and now Cincinnati has to score to win the game. That could have been in play. All right, we'll come back. Mike Vrabel will talk here in about 3 minutes, and we'll carry it live. We'll do that next.